Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome you here in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this special day. And first of all, I'd like to say thank you for your support, being here for Sarah and Casey and Hope. It's a wonderful thing that you're going to see this morning. I just have a few announcements that I'd like to make. Put my spectacles on. At the very end of after the service, we're going to have one more prayer. And the prayer is going to be for the food. That is, I want everybody that wants to can stay. We have some food provided after and share with each other. So there's going to be a prayer after the service for that. Our prayer list is getting long. I have a couple people I'd like to add this morning. There's a young 11-year-old named Silas. He's a relative of Judy Cobb's. And he's in the hospital right now, and he's suffering. He's pretty sick. So we need to keep him in our prayers. I want you to add that to your list. And also, grandson and great-grandson of my brother, Uncle Fred here, he is suffering with COVID. They've been sick for about 6 weeks now. Troy, the father, is in the hospital, and the son, Elijah, is at home, but he's still struggling. So keep them in your prayers, too, Troy and Elijah. And great-uncle. So, just so everybody knows who's up here, my Uncle Fred, his wife, Aunt Helen, playing the piano. My Uncle Fred married Judy and I. And my cuz, his son, Fred Jr. It's a family affair. Our call to worship this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. May the Lord add a blessing unto his word at this time. May we continue with the use of hymn number 284. And when you find your place, would you please rise as best possible?
Kind and loving Father in heaven, in the dear and sacred name of thine only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, we have gathered here this day with joy in our hearts for the ordinance which is about to take place, that of the blessing of a little one. Father, we know that they are precious in your sight. We know that you expect great things from us in our responsibilities to assist and the raising up of a little one. And pray, Father, that you would bless us this day with some insight in how we can help. Pray, Father, that you would bring that joy into our hearts and that love into our hearts for not only for hope, but for all who are in attendance today, that we might recognize that you love each person as they are, and that you call us to a higher plane, and that you will guide us and direct us in our lives, that we might experience the more abundant life if we would just surrender ourselves to thee and seek thy face. And so, Father, we pray that you would come and be in our midst, that that good spirit might dwell with us, that we might be attentive to those things which you would bring our way, that the words which are preached this day might minister to our souls and inspire us to be a better person. And so I present the body of Christ to thee this day, Father, and pray that you'd look down from the courts of glory, open the windows of heaven, pour a blessing out upon each one this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated.
We're going to have our time of offering and tithes, but before we get started, I'd like to offer a scripture from Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall be no room enough to receive it. Brothers, come forward. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for all that you've given unto us, especially for those many blessings within our lives. And as we have given at this time, Father, I pray that we have given with joy in our hearts. And I pray that the money that has been given would be blessed for thy use as I see fit in this part of your vineyard. Be with us, Father, is my prayer in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to have a blessing here, but I got some comments I'd like to make. This truly is an ordinance that was instituted by Jesus Christ himself. I hope you all realize that. Even Jesus himself was blessed by Simeon at the temple and at a very early age. And we can also find these words in Mark chapter 10, verses 11 through 14. And when they brought young children to him, that he should touch them, and the disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw and heard them, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, and he put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. We are still following that pattern today. We see in the Doctrine and Covenants that these instructions were given to the priesthood. Doctrine and Covenants 17, verse 19. Every member of the Church of Christ having children is to bring them unto the elders before the church, who are to lay hands upon them in the name of Jesus Christ and also bless him in his name. Casey and Sarah, as Hope's parents, you know that you have received a wonderful gift from God.
I'm sorry.
And it's one not to be taken lightly. Let me stirring about this a little bit. It's your duty as good stewards to teach Hope in the ways of the Lord. And not only to teach her, but to live your lives as an example for her to see all her days, bringing her up on principles and the morals that will build a good foundation for her the rest of her life. That foundation being the love of God and Jesus, and instituting an unwavering faith in them. And to all of us who are here now, who came to support them, this doesn't end here. Our support for Sarah and Casey and Hope goes on. It's a new journey for them as well as us, for we are her family, their family. They will need help from time to time, but I assure you, we should always find ourselves praying for them. There are a lot of difficulties out there in the world now, but with us all together, I'm sure that things will work out. But most of all, that she has the Lord in her life. So continue to be with them. We're going to have the blessing at this time. Brother Fred, Sarah and Casey, if you would bring Hope up. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you with Hope in our hands, praying, Father, for your guiding spirit to be with her all the days of her life, that you would give her peace and comfort and safety and health. What a great gift you have given us all, Father, as we see her smile and it melts our hearts. Father, we pray also for Casey and Sarah, that they would always be praying to you and in tune with you in the ways to bring up this child. For we know we are told in the scriptures to bring up your child in the ways they should go, and you will not depart from it. And so we pray this blessing upon Hope at this time, praying that you light her path through her life and keep her well always. And we seal this blessing in the name of thy Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I hope I have something for you. We'll just play a little piece. I pray that you'd give your attention this time to our brother Fred and those words which have been prepared from on high for him to give us this day.
Well, I don't exactly know what to say to you after Rex took all my scriptures and then he said what I was going to say, so I know there's got to be something left somewhere here that I can say, and I hope some of the things that I say to you will help these young people become the kind of people that God wants them to be. And so in the blessings of babies, as he said, it was instituted long ago before we were here. And he also said, come unto me, all ye heavy laden. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, For my yoke is easy and my burdens are light, and I'll give rest to your souls. And then there's another part of the scripture that said, this is my beloved Son, hear him. So Jesus Christ has a very good interest for Casey and Sarah and the raising of their child. Stewardship, he says, is the response of my people to the ministry of my Son. And are the responsible of the people within the church and with out of the church, whether you know Jesus Christ or not, we're held accountable for the things that he's given us. And because of this baby that came into their life is going to change drastically. It's not going to be smooth sailings all the time, even though all the love will always be there. As this child's grow, they're going to have to grow with them, and she is going to teach them about Jesus Christ. Can you believe that? She will be the one that will teach the parents about Jesus Christ. And as she grows, and as the Spirit works with her, and as they teach her things, and as they see mom and dad interact, and when she becomes like 5 years old and she watches them, and she experiences and feels the love that mom and dad translates to one another in hugs and gentle kisses, kind words, and how they deal with problems, that will be these two people will be her teacher. She will watch you drastically. And the things that you have in your life, she will put in her life. If you have prayer in your life, she'll put that in her life because she's taught it and she sees it and she hears it. If you teach her how to read and to study from time to time as she grows older, she'll have that in her life. Stewardship. Teaching her about finances and the importance of it. Tithes and offerings. When you teach them from when they're a baby, as they grow, it becomes automatically in your life. And you don't have any questions about it when you get older and when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, because you know that a tenth of what you make is his. There's no question about that. Those are Jesus Christ. Rex read in the scriptures, in Malachi, where have you robbed me? In tithes and an offering. That's because we haven't taught our children the things that the Lord Jesus Christ wants them to learn about him, because we haven't applied it to our lives either. And if we haven't applied it to our life, they sure are not going to apply it to theirs. You can't teach them when they're 10 years old, when they're 15 years old. You got to teach them now. They got to feel God's presence with you as mom and dad and the great love that thou hast for them. When I was a young guy growing up, I didn't have Jesus Christ within my life. I came from a family of 12, 7 sisters, 5 brothers. They're all gone now except 2. I outlived them all for some reason. God still wants me around a little bit. But when I grew up with them, we never had the teachings that Casey and Sarah had. But I had a loving mom. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ loved her as much as anyone. And she had something happen to her one time that very few people have had happen. We lived in the country. And we lived back from the village. There's about 15 families in the village. And we lived about 1/4 mile back up in the woods. So I'm not going to tell you how old I am. But we walked wherever we went. And one day she was walking down there and she felt like she'd go looking for my dad. And his voice spoke to her. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ speaks today. Not long time ago when he spoke then, he speaks today. You can hear his voice. You can have dreams. You can have visions. You can have the Holy Spirit speak to your mind. but Christ can speak verbally to you and to me. He's interested in you. He's interested in me. He's just not up there sitting next to the Father on some golden paths where you just sit there and twiddle your thumbs. Who wants to do that? Not our Lord, not the God that loves you. He's interested in you. He wants to be a part of your life. And he spoke to my mother and he says, who's going to take care of your children if you go? She turned around, she went back home. Next Saturday night, she went looking for my dad. Same voice. Who's going to take care of your children? Who's going to tend to them? She turned around, she went home. Well, I'm sure that if you had that happen to you, you'd be a little antsy. And the third week when she went down, she walked down the path. And she started looking around because she was expecting to hear something. And she didn't. But what a wonderful thing happened. All at once she felt like somebody was watching her. And she turned and she looked up toward heaven. And Jesus Christ was standing there with his arms open. As if to say, I will look after you and after your children. And he did. He looked after 12 children in a family where a woman took care of them and sacrificed her life. And he was always there for her. My question was, Mom, why didn't you tell that to somebody? Why didn't you tell it to your brothers and sisters that went to church? They went to church. And then she looked at me and she smiled up and she said, Fred, how am I going to tell these people that go to church that never had that experience? And I did. And they said, oh, sure. And they would laugh at her. She was afraid. But you need not be afraid because you've had Jesus Christ all along in your life. And he took children up in his arms and he blessed them. Let me read this for you. Baptism is for those who desire to repent of their sins. Baptism and repentance go together. You can't have one without the other. And so if you've had that done, and then he says, the elders of the church are to lay their hands upon you so that you'll receive the Holy Spirit, that it will dwell within you, that you can understand the concepts of the Lord Jesus Christ as he calls you to witness to your children and to be the light that they need. Baptism is unnecessary for little children who have no understanding and no sin from which to repent. They are innocent and incapable of sin. And why is that so important that you hear that? Well, I want to tell you something. I talked to a friend of mine who happened to be of a different faith than I was, and we was talking one day, and he was having a baby blessed the same as we are here. And he looked at me and he says, Fred, I'm having our grandson baptized. So I looked at him, I says, Ed, I says, do you understand what baptism's all about? Oh, yes, he said, it's for remission of sin. I said, right. Now, I said, would you tell me in your own words what this little baby's done to repent and be baptized? If it's for remission of sin and you have understanding, and you're capable of knowing, and you have a broken heart and a contrite spirit and want to come to the Lord Jesus, why does this baby need to be baptized? So my friend looked at me and he thought for a second, and this was the answer he gave me. Well, he might do something down after he gets older. Oh, I said, then you took away the agency that Jesus Christ has given us all. Because one of the greatest loves of the Lord Jesus Christ is this agency that he gives us to know when we need to repent and we willingly do so with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I said, what did the baby do wrong? And that was his answer. I'd like to read this to you. Book of Mormon teaches us that the baptism is wrong because of original sin. The sin of Adam is taken away from little children by the atonement of Christ, and they are not capable for this act. Therefore, they cannot repent. Does that make sense? I hope it does. I hope the power of the Holy Spirit witnesses to you today that little children need not be baptized. And in this church that we happen to belong to is that the age of accountability is 8 years old. From the time that they're born to the time that they're 8 years old, what happened? Oh, the Lord laid that on you two. You are to be the parents that He's called you to be. You are to teach this little one right from wrong, of all the things that we talked about stewardship, about behaving, about sharing, about being kind and loving. That's the parents' responsibility. From the time they're born to the time they're 8 years old, where they become accountability, where they know a little bit about right and wrong. Now he says, I give them their ages and their ages unto themselves. And so if you taught them these things and at the age of 8 years old, they're baptized. And Jesus Christ poured the power of the Holy Spirit out upon them to help you teach them. He's not only given it to them, He's given it to you. And because of the way that you interact with your children, you teach them the things of the kingdom. So what is the responsibility of a parent, of a husband and wife? Well, let me tell you, I was from a family of 12. I told you, 7 sisters, 5 brothers. The ladies had their job, we had our job. We had a less job than they did. Excuse me. And as I got older, and I got into the church and accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I learned that man's work is no different than the ladies. Can you believe that? I've seen all the things that my mom went through. I never seen my dad help. And so when I got older and I got married, I thought, you know, and I met Jesus Christ and Helen started, we started having kids. And I thought, you know, I better learn some things. I better learn how to help, how to be a dad, how to be a father and a husband. That the things that she goes through, the work that she does every day in the house, cooks the meals, takes care of the children, dresses them, cleans them up, sends them to school, does all that thing, and yet I go to work, come home, and I can sit down. I don't think that's right. I think we should learn that as young people. So one day I'm sitting in the house, and Helen's gone to town. And the little baby there, he does what most babies do. They mess their britches. So in my days, we had cloths. We didn't have these good things they put on diapers they put on them today. It was old cloths, old rags or whatever you call them. And so I got me out a bowl of warm water and some soap and that, and I know here's my sister-in-law and here's my mom. And I'm down there and I'm cleaning the baby up. And all at once, my sister-in-law looks at me and she says, your brother would never do that. So I just kept right on doing it. My mom looks at him. She says, your dad would never do that. And I just kept on doing it, but they wouldn't let up on me. And all at once I took time out and I just looked up at my mom and my sister-in-law and I says, can I ask you a question? And they said, sure. I said, okay. I said, the baby's got messy britches, right? This is all over him. And they said, yes. I said, do you see Helen here? Do you see her anywhere here? I said, she's in town. So you want me to look down at this little baby and leave him like that? Or should I take care of him? And they just kind of looked at me and I continued on. Put powder on the baby after I had him down. I got good at it. And that was a part of my life. And when we had babies, I took my part in that. I even learned how to cook. And the reason I learned how to cook is Helen was in the hospital one day and I was taking care of the kids and they were doing something. He was small at that time with the other ones. And I was got excited and I'm paying attention to them. Everything burned up. And it happened to be the winter, in the winter. So I opened the door and I threw the pan out in the snow, what I was making, whatever that was. And I says, come on, we're going to McDonald's. But you know, I learned how to cook. And I come to find out that I actually like it. And I have to say so myself, I'm halfway decent. I can cook meals. Not fancy meals, but I can cook eatable meals. And so I learned early in life that a man's work and a woman's work's the same. Helen got up on the roof with me when I had to put shingles on the roof. The kids got up there. She helped me. So isn't it only right that I should help her in her hour of need, to take some of that burden off of her? Isn't she the mother of my children? Isn't she the love of my life? We're out of sharing some of the things that she needs help in. I think so. And I had a man come up to me one time when I was talking about that, and he looked at me, and you know what he told me? He looked at me and pointed at me, and he says, hey, Fred. I said, what? He said, you'd make a good wife. I said, you know something? If you did this, you'd make a good husband. But that's the truth. We work together in our homes, and we help build a kingdom within it, and they see us prayer, and they see us speak kindly to one another, and joy, and peace, and comfort. No, we don't have the kids anymore. They're all grown up. I'm grandpa. But Helen and I are still sharing the work. If she cooks the meal, I do the dishes and vice versa. And you know how we used to kind of do that to make it easier. I don't know how many of you play cribbage. Maybe some of you know what that game is, cribbage. It's a game you play with cards and you go up and down a board. So Helen and I used to play 2 out of 3 games and the loser had to cook or had to wash the dishes. It brought a little light onto it. But little children are not capable of sin. And they're going to bring more excitement into your life than you can imagine. And parents, their parents, and other parents, I want to talk to you about this blessing of this baby. It's going to be hard on you because sometimes you got to stay out of the way. I learned that. You got to stay out of the way of your children and let them grow. You know they're going to be hurt from time to time, but you got to let them grow. You got to let them become moms and dads as you were. You had to learn. And you got to back off from time to time. But you know something? When they need help, they know exactly who they can go to, mom and dad. But until they do, stay out of the way sometime. Let them grow. And I learned that from my mom. She came down and visited us, and I was letting the kids go out, and it was getting kind of dark at night. Now, you got to remember, she raised 12 kids, so she got a lot of experience. And she said, Fred, I wouldn't let them go out in the backyard. You know, all these things are happening down here. I wouldn't let them go out there, and I just kept dressing the kids. Finally, I let them go out in the yard. And she wouldn't let up on me. So I looked at my mother and I said, Mom. She said, what? I said, listen to me. How many kids did you raise? How many children? Well, Fred, you know that. I said, I know that, but how many? She said, 12. And I said, do you think you did a good job with them? She thought for a second. She says, yeah, you know, I do. I think I did a good job. I says, and I think you did also. Now let me. She looked at me and says, let me be the dad. Let me be who I need to be and learn. But I said, you know something? The best advice that I can have is when I do need trouble, I know I can come to you and you can give it to me. But let me ask. Let me grow. Let me become the parent that I need to become. Because I've had good teachers, and you've had good teachers in your life. And your parents love you greatly. And your grandparents love you. And your uncle loves you. But we need to learn that as people. We need to learn that as men and women. Let our children grow. And they know where they can come and get the good advice because they've been taught that. You did a good job. You know Jesus Christ. You've read some, you prayed some. You've been through hard times, you've been through good times. Well, I don't have to. Rex took the rest of it. And he did a good job. So I just thought I'd try to fill in a little bit. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ loves your children. And isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful from the age that they're born to the age of accountability that when something happens to them, they're taken back to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the God that created them. And maybe what's more important than that, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we understand when we lose a loved one that we'll see him again. What a promise, eh? What a promise when you love the Lord Jesus Christ that when you lose one of your children or they're taken, of course you're heartbroken and I'm heartbroken. But the promise is you'll see him again. There's my hope. There's my faith in Jesus Christ. He died and he rose again to show you that there was another life after this. So what other reason we here at this time in this kind of body to learn how to love Jesus Christ and God the Father by the Holy Spirit? We are here for a reason, to learn how to come back to him. We were spiritual beings put into this mortal frame trying to get back where we came from. And the more that you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the more he pours his Spirit out upon you and you learn of him. He increases that Spirit. And I'd like to just share this testimony. I guess I spoke to you enough. I'd like to share this testimony about a man. He was an apostle in a church. And he knew this family. And this boy was, his son was dying. And all at once, this apostle sitting in his chair reading, and the Lord comes to him and talks with him, and he says, if you could, would you give your son for him that he might live? Would you give your son's life for him? Think about it. And he thought for a second, and he says, no, Lord, I couldn't do that. Some time went by. He hears his voice again. He says, could you now? Because he poured his Spirit upon him a little more. He said, could you now? Would you now give your son for this boy over here to live? And he thought, for his, no, Lord, he says, no way I could do that. After a period of time went by, the Lord had poured a great amount of his Spirit out upon him, and he says, now could you do that? Could you give your son for this boy that he might live? He says, yea, Lord, now I could do that. You see, that's what Jesus Christ did for you and me. He gave his son so your sons and daughters might have life, and so that you and I might have life together with them. and we might choose him, Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and God the Father, that one day we might be together with our loved ones once again. Isn't it worth accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Aren't you grateful for blessings of babies and not baptisms? And later on in life, they have to be baptized out of their agency because they learned of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He put this ordinance within the church. Is it any wonder that he said to you and I, come on to me, all you are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burdens are light, and I'll give rest to your souls. Aren't we thankful for blessing of babies instead of baptism? May God bless, and I hope you've heard something today that you might consider.
God is certainly good, is he not? Well, Casey and Sarah, I agree with what you say, Fred. It's going to be hard. From time to time, we're still going to be doing this. And I know that'll be hard for Judy and I also, but it is a learning experience for all. But it brings me back to a scripture from Genesis chapter 3, or chapter 2, verse 30, that says this: therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. I think that's something for us all to think on, because we do have to let our kids go and learn as they grow. May we conclude I want to thank you once again for everyone being here. And I'd like to conclude the service now with the use of hymn number 247. 247, and when you find your place, would you please rise? Thank you.
Father in heaven, we are so grateful for to have been here this hour, to have gathered into this house, to have witnessed the ordinance of thy house in the blessing of a baby. Father, we're so grateful for the life of hope, for the joy and the happiness that she brings into our hearts. We're thankful for her parents and pray that you would bless them and the grandparents and the aunts and the uncles and the friends. All those who have gathered in, that we might recognize our responsibility in her life, that we might be the example she's called us to be, that you have called us to be. And so, Father, I present the body of Christ to thee this day and pray that you would bless each one, that we might recognize the hope that you have in each one of us, that as we continue down the pathway of life, and we enter into the lives of others, that we might be of service to them somehow, to be a blessing in their lives as so many have been a blessing in ours through the years. Father, may we spread the love that you have placed within our hearts with others. And so as we move forward from this place, I pray that you would always help us to retain this moment in our minds when we saw this take place, that we might remember the message that was brought to us this day, that it might bring the reminders of our responsibilities towards one another, that we might be a little more forgiving, that we might be a little more loving, that we might be a better people. So I pray, Father, you bless each one from this hour, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go in fellowship and partake of the food, let's pray one more time over the food. Father in heaven, we thank thee so much for the blessings of life that you've given to each one of us, for the opportunity in life that is ours to live in this wonderful land of freedom and to partake of the bounty thereof. We thank you, Father, for the food which we are about to partake of. Pray that you would bless it, bless the hands that have prepared it. May it strengthen and nourish our bodies, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, everyone.